Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Keith Nash, joining you here on this Wednesday to have a little bit of a trade deadline primer. We're just less than a week away from the NHL trade deadline. It's next Monday, this coming Monday, I guess I should say. And will the Stars be involved at all? A little bit? You know, that's kind of the question. I think we have an indication of their level of involvement, but it may change based on how the rest of this week goes in terms of wins and losses. Talk about that. We'll talk about some specific names: John Klingberg, Esa Lindell, Andrew Cogliano, some of those guys that may be getting some interest from around the league. We'll talk about all that on today's episode. Today's episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me this week on Sunday, 4 p.m. Central. That's when we do it, Sunday, 4 p.m. Central, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Let's go ahead and dive right in to the Stars. It's kind of situation as it stands right now and how it relates to the NHL trade deadline. Stars, as it stands right now, sit in seventh in the Central Division. They are 7 points out of a playoff spot. They're 7 points behind the Nashville Predators. They do have 3 games in hand on Nashville. So, not quite on the same pace as Nashville, but it is still within reach. And this week is going to be a big kind of indicator of how they may approach the deadline. Whether they do anything at all is still kind of up in the air. But if they were going to do something, this week could be an indicator of what they may do, whether they're buyers, whether they're sellers, how hardcore are they one way or the other. The Stars are 7 points back. They play Chicago again Thursday night. Then they have a game against Florida on Saturday and then Nashville on Sunday. Theoretically, those results go the Stars' favor. A couple other results go the Stars' favor. The Stars could be just a couple of points out of a playoff spot by the end of this week. Conversely, the Stars have a rough week, drop a couple games. Heaven forbid they drop all of those games. Stars are probably out of the playoff race by the end of this week. I mean, that's really what we're kind of looking at here. They could be anywhere from a couple points out to double-digit points out, depending on what things go this week. And we'll know this, the trade deadline's Monday, so we'll kind of have an idea of where they're at pre-NHL trade deadline. So will that kind of guide them in their decision-making here over the coming days and over the next 5-6 days, whatever it is. Right off the bat, it feels, and I've answered some questions about this, it feels like the Stars are probably not interested in getting into the trade market heavily, at least. Mike Hajka was asked about the trade market just yesterday. He answered a question about it. Basically, somebody asking whether the Stars would be involved at the deadline. Any rumors going on? Possibly. Say the question was possibly Taylor Hall, and Mike Hajka said, I think they like where this team is at. A little tongue in cheek right there. That's kind of the Stars' team motto. I like where this team is at. Jim Neal's motto. He said, I don't think they're in the market to deal either way. I think they're just going to ride this until the end of this season. And I talked about this on Locker Room on Sunday. We had a couple questions about the trade deadline, and I talked about it on an episode earlier this week. The Stars are in a dilemma where, yes, there's a good chance, I would say better than 50% chance that they're out of the playoff. Probably 60 to 65, maybe 70% chance they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're underdogs. They're going to have to fight the uphill battle. Not out of the question. It's not over. But they're going to have an uphill battle to get back into a playoff spot. So with that in mind, and potentially by the end of the week, it could be closer to 75, 80% chance that they're out of the playoffs. Do they use this opportunity to move some assets and get some younger players, some younger talent, and make this team younger? It's a fairly veteran heavy team. Make this team younger before they go into next season. On the flip side, do they continue with what they've got? Do they try to bring in a player or two? I think that's probably the most unlikely situation that the Stars are going to try to chase down any kind of acquisition. For a win now kind of player, I don't see that happening. The Stars just don't really have a ton of cap space, a ton of assets, tradable assets. We talked about that, but the other flip side of trying to get younger and being kind of a soft seller, so to speak, is do they just kind of stand firm with where they are, and do they say, hey, this season is kind of a wash, shortened year, we played as long as, you know, we played the longest season out of anybody last year, except for, you know, obviously the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're right there with the Stars. So long season last year, a weird season. Basically, I mean, it was almost a year-long season when you talk about when it started and when it actually concluded. For the Dallas Stars, weird offseason. Tyler Seguin, Ben Bishop had offseason surgeries. They missed a lot of time. Injuries, Alexander Radulov, you know, with the COVID delays and then ice storm delays, the season got jumbled up. It made it even more, you know, kind of crammed together and just it exacerbated the injury problem. Do they look at the season and go, the deck was stacked against us. We still think we're a contender. Do we stand firm and go into next year with the same kind of unit? Because they're going to retain a lot of these guys for next season. You look at where the Stars are right now and where they're going to go into next season. Guys that are out of contract, meaning that they're true UFAs going into next year. Andrew Cogliano, Blake Como, Tanner Caro, Justin Dowling, Jamie Oleksiak, Mark Pesek, Joel Hanley. That's their UFA group. Steven Johns technically in there. Taylor Fadun's in there. But that's their UFA group, right? That's not... There's some big, you know, there's some important players, Cogliano, Como, those kind of guys, Oleksiak, that's an important player. But they're not guys that if they leave, you can't go replace them with a like-for-like kind of talent, right? They're not Jamie Benn, they're not Roope Hintz, they're not Miro Heiskanen, they're not John Klinger, they're not Esa Lindell. So do they say, we're returning the majority of this team, let's hold off, see what we can do in the offseason to make another run at this with the roster that we've got, which we think is still a contending roster. I'll go get out in front of it. I think that's how they're going to lean, and that seems to be an indication. Mike Hajka's tweet, obviously, that seems to be the kind of the indication. Is and we've not seen tons and tons of rumors popping up. Seems like the Stars are content to kind of sit there, hold steady, see if maybe they can, you know, come up with some magic this year and make a late run at the postseason. And if they can't, go back into next season with a lot of the same roster returning. Make a couple of moves here and there, you know, replace a couple of guys that are leaving, see if they can, you know, hit on a couple of free agents maybe, and make another run at contending in what should be a more normal year for the Stars and for the rest of the league. You know, I think that's where they're kind of ideally kind of leaning towards. And you know, we've talked about their competition window, and it feels like their window is probably this year and next year, right, before they have to really kind of reshape this team. And obviously some of the mainstays will still be under contract. Faxa, Ben, Seguin, Bishop, Heiskanen probably should have a long-term deal. Lindell will still be around. You know, those kind of some of that core group, Gurianov, Hintz, you know, those guys, Hintz will still be around. Gurianov would be an RFA. No doubt they'll try to extend him. So it's you know, some of the core group's still there, but in large part, there's a lot of players that are going to be gone after next season that are kind of, you know, you're going to have to kind of, not next season probably, but the season after, that are going to force you to reshape. Pavelski, Radulov, Jason Robertson in RFA. Obviously, the Stars are going to get a long-term deal done there. They need to, but Klingberg's a UFA. Sekera's a UFA. Anthony Dobin likely will be gone by that point. There's a good chunk of the team that will be gone at the end of next season. This is kind of their window. So are they ready to close that window early, which they would be if they sell some of these players off, depending on who it is, they're kind of closing the window early. Or are they going to try to sit on this and see if they can, you know, like I said, sit on this, see if they can hit on something here and there, see if, you know, Gurianov can get going, if bringing Seguin back, if Bishop coming back healthy, if those guys truly can kind of transform them back into a playoff contending team. I think that's how they're going to lean, but there are a couple of interesting names that I think will get some phone calls, and I think the Stars may just at least listen to some offers for here before the deadline. We'll talk about those right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we step aside, today's episode was brought to you by Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's a free to download app. Once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'm hosting rooms for Locked On Stars once a week. You can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here every single day. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to the biggest news and rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me, might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Stars podcast through our Locker Room conversation. Be sure to join me this week, Sunday, 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock Central Time. I'll be hosting a room talking about the Dallas Stars. Probably a lot of trade deadline chatter in there. Make sure to jump in for that. Go download the Locker Room app now, free to download, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Kenneth_Nash19, same as my Twitter handle, to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live Sunday, 4 o'clock Central. Make sure to tune in. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the Dallas Stars. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Also want to talk about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. It has been for a while now. They've got unbelievable flavors. I love Built Bars. My favorite flavor right now, I had the white chocolate cookies and cream for the first time. Unbelievable flavor. My dad loves them. These bars are great. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They got different varieties. They got their regular bars. They got crispy bars. Got a little bit of a crunch to it. They've got their puffs. It's kind of like a marshmallow consistency. They got tons of variety. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on the keto diet, these bars are great for that. If you're trying to lose or maintain weight, this is the way to turn. Built Bar is the answer. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 to get you 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I've kind of given you my thoughts on the trade deadline for the Stars, what I think they're going to do, you know, are they going to be active or not. But I do want to talk about a specific couple of names because I've been asked about a couple of names and we've heard some names kind of floated out there, you know, whether it be in kind of official articles. You know, like Saad Youssef had an interesting trade piece on the Dallas Stars a couple of weeks back, I think it was. Or you know, just fans kind of just, you know, pondering what could be done. And there's a couple of names that I want to kind of just talk about real quick. We talked about John Klingberg early in the week, so we'll start with him and keep it pretty brief. You know, I was asked on Locker Room on Sunday by a Flyers fan, actually, about John Klingberg and his potential availability. He's a name that's kind of floated around after, you know, he's had a pretty strong season so far after a couple of down years. So would he be somebody that the Stars would be willing to move, especially if they, you know, kind of go in this, we're not going to contend this year kind of direction? And I told him, I said on the podcast, I told him the same thing, and I'll give you the short of it right now. The Stars, moving John Klingberg would signal that the Stars don't feel that they're competitive this year or next year. Essentially, it's unlikely that the Stars are going to be able to move him for a piece that is immediately going to bring back, you know, close to equal value to what John Klingberg currently brings to the team. It's just, that's not how NHL teams do business, right? It's not how really any professional sports team. You rarely see, you know, current talent for current talent trades. It's either current talent for prospects and draft picks, or it's, you know, it's current talent for future talent, right? It's one team buying for the now and the other team accepting that they're not ready for the now and preparing for the later, right? And John Klingberg falls in that. If you keep him, you're playing for now. If you trade him, you're playing for later, right? There's no equal trade out there that I think gets done that somebody's going to come in and offer the Stars something of you know, equal impact or close to equal impact right now, this season and next season, equal to what John Klingberg currently is going to bring to this team. Now, I did say, and I stand by this, if there's a John Klingberg move on the horizon, because they do have to make a decision about him, do they bring him back long term? You know, his contract ends at the end of next season. He's a UFA. The Stars would have Esa Lindell still under contract at $5.8 million a year AAV, and then they're going to have to extend Miro Heiskanen before then as well. Do they move on from John Klingberg here at the end of next season? If they're planning to, and they think that's the most realistic way to go about it, then you do probably talk through some trade scenarios maybe this summer. But he's still got a year left on his deal. Get him to a new team, maybe somewhere that can, you know, ink him long term. If the Stars don't feel like that's in their, you know, that's in their best interest or in the cards for them. That being said, I think as it stands right now, I think they're fully intent. They're hoping that they can bring John Klingberg back long term at the end of next season. That they can get a long term deal worked out with him. It's just going to be the dollar amount, right? Miro Heiskanen is going to command a lot of money, and you can't let a guy like Miro Heiskanen leave, especially at just 21 years old, 22, by the time he signs this contract. So is the money going to be in there for the Stars for them to get a deal done and to not completely eviscerate any future cap space they have? Because they still have long-term deals with Tyler Seguin, long-term deal with Jamie Benn, Esa Lindell, Miro Heiskanen. I mean, those are big, 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 big hits, right? We're talking about $5.8 million is going to be Esa Lindell. That's going to be the low side of that. Jamie Benn through 24-25 at 9.5. Tyler Seguin's at 9.85 for it feels like the next decade. It's not, but for the next, you know, five, six or seven seasons, you know, Lindell's going to be on the low side of that. So do the Stars feel like they can afford to bring back John Klingberg? If they think that it's not in the cards already, then maybe this summer you can work something out where maybe you can get something that's going to bring you equal value to the franchise. Maybe if Thomas Harley's ready to go, you think that he could really step in and play a significant role. Maybe then you're like, okay, let's maybe move Klingberg. Even if we don't get an immediate value replacement now, maybe we can get somebody in the door that's going to, you know, kind of be a cornerstone piece for the future. Because John Klingberg's a cornerstone franchise piece, right? And even with the year left, you don't move him. And even if he's kind of underperformed, he's had some up and down years, you don't move that just for the sake of moving that, right? You don't move that kind of asset, that kind of player. And I speak in terms of assets, and it sounds really cold and callous because trades go a lot further than what we see on Twitter and what we see on the ice. These are people and their families and everything like that. But for the purpose of a trade deadline primer, you don't move that kind of player just to say you moved him, to say you got something back. And there would have to be enough value for the Stars to say, we're willing to forego the last year of this deal to make this trade. Otherwise, the Stars might as well, even if they don't think they can re-sign him, they might as well keep him. They're a better team with him than without him, that's for sure. I don't want to talk too long on him, so let's dive into some other topics. Let's go ahead and go with the other big fish that's been kind of thrown around, and that is Esa Lindell. Now, he's interesting because he's under a long-term deal. Esa Lindell's under contract through the end of the 24-25 season, same as Jamie Benn. He's one of four players that's under contract that far. Four big-name players. Lindell, Faxa, Benn all come off the books at the end of that season, and then Sagan will be the only one that carries on beyond that. So, you know, he's got a long-term cap hit. Now, it's not a massive one, 5.8 for a top-pairing defenseman. Not an exorbitant amount of money, but when you are talking about that, you're going to have to be signing Miro Heiskanen to a big long-term deal, much bigger than the 5.8 that Esa Lindell's making. If you want to bring back John Klingberg, you're going to sign him to something probably bigger than that $5.8 million. Can you afford to be paying your highest-paid defenseman, and probably your third-best defenseman, overall, you know, almost $6 million a year for the next three seasons or whatever it is. So, you know, this is one of those weird kind of things because you're trading a fairly team-friendly deal. So 5.8, you know, fairly team-friendly when you talk about Esa Lindell's impact. He's only 26, is a long-term deal. He's great defensively, good penalty killer, you know, plays tons of minutes for the Stars. It's a fairly kind of team-friendly deal, but if you're looking about the future and you really think we need to compete now and we need to compete in the future, Esa Lindell is probably the most valuable asset the Stars have to move. Miro Heiskanen obviously would be number one. Just somebody would give up a crap ton to get his RFA rights, right? But Esa Lindell, in terms of he's under contract for four more years after the season, so long term, he's not a massive cap hit. He would slot in on pretty much any team in the league's top pairing and be their best defensive defenseman. You know, he's only 26, so you're talking about this current contract's going to end when he's 30, 31, something like that. You know, so there's a lot of value right there. So maybe the Stars go, hey, we need to get, you know, a forward in here, a forward talent. You don't trade Esa Lindell for a defenseman, even a young defenseman, because he's young, right? You're not trading Esa Lindell to get a Thomas Harley, right? You're not doing that because that doesn't help you now. And it really is just, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line, it's probably a like-for-like swap. Esa Lindell, you're trading for an impact forward to come in and be the new anchor of your team. I think that's maybe the same thing. That's probably a summer conversation. I don't think that happens in season. Stars move him now. They're saying we're not competing this year. And depending on what they get back, maybe not competing next year either. But maybe in the summer, some calls come in. The Stars kind of look at what they've got in terms of defenseman depth. They re-sign Jamie Oleksiak, who we'll talk about in a second. You know, maybe they go, we can afford to part with him because the guy we're getting back is going to make such a difference on the offensive end of the ice, where the Stars need some stability, need some consistency, need a top-end talent. They really are lacking right now. They've got some very talented players, but Joe Pavelski has been arguably your best forward this year, and he's 36, right? And then it's Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson. As good as those guys are, those guys can't be your best guys right now. You need guys that are better than them, or guys that are going to be top line forwards in the next couple of years. So that's the only reason I would think they would even consider moving Esa Lindell. Same as John Klingberg, though. I don't think it's necessarily the thing we want to hear right now because we love trades, but not something I think they're really going to consider until the offseason. Maybe they get some offers. And then, you know, and jointly with that, and we're running out of time for this break or this block, but jointly with that, if you move Esa Lindell, that should be with the caveat that we are signing John Klingberg long-term, right? You don't move Esa Lindell and let John Klingberg go, because then you just completely gutted your defense core. You move Esa Lindell because you're signing John Klingberg. You think that's the better value add long term compared with what you have in terms of defensemen coming up through the ranks, Oleksiak, Haskinen, Harley, that kind of thing. And then you're going, you know, the other thing to weigh is top defensive defenseman in lieu of John Klingberg, who right now is probably, you know, your most potent offensive defenseman, right? Is that a move you want to make when you look at some of the young guys? Thomas Harley, Miro Haskinen. Haskinen's kind of a unicorn, but Thomas Harley's an offensive kind of guy, right? Jamie Oleksiak, good defenseman, not a top pairing defenseman. So the Stars have to figure out, kind of navigate that. But if they're going to move Lindell and Klingberg, I don't think it's both. Lindell or Klingberg, I wouldn't expect that to heat up until this offseason. Let's step aside one more time. When we come back, we will we'll talk about a couple more names, probably the more likely names maybe to get traded if something does happen. I still think it's a tough decision for Dallas, but if something does happen, I think it could come from one of these couple of guys. We'll talk about them right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NHL, the NBA, the MLB are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device today to sign up, receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cohen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Let's wrap up this episode, a little trade deadline primer for the Dallas Stars. Talk about a couple more names that you're going to hear floated around. And these, the Stars make a move and then they trade somebody away. If they make a move at all, really. These are the guys that I think may be the ones to move, the more likely of who they would move. We'll start with Jamie Oleksiak. Obviously, defenseman that the Stars have traded before, right? They traded him away a few years back to the Pittsburgh Penguins, then basically undid the trade, traded the pick they got back to the Penguins to get Oleksiak back. And since he's come back, he's been a completely different defenseman than what the Stars thought they had at the beginning. He's been a really, really nice pair mate for Miro Haskinen. There's nothing overly dominant necessarily about Jamie Oleksiak's play, but he's solid and he does his job well. He's added a little bit of an offensive game to his skill set here over the past couple of seasons. We saw him do it in the postseason a lot, especially. He's got 8 points in 37 games. That's compared to last year. He had 10 in 69. And then, of course, the playoffs was kind of where we saw him jump up and become kind of this offensive defenseman, at least had those kind of abilities. Obviously, 6'7", 255 pounds. He's a huge guy, big reach. He's strong defensively. He complements Miro Haskinen well. Miro Haskinen kind of a lighter, more skill-based defenseman. Oleksiak adds a little bit of force. He acts as, the Stars don't really have a true, enforcer. That's kind of dead, right? That term, but he's kind of he's the muscle, so to speak, right? He's 6'7" on skates coming at you, is a sight to behold. So, he's one that would probably get some interest. He's still fairly young, 28 years old. He's a UFA at the end of the year. He's skating almost 20 minutes a night this year, which is a big jump. It's the most minutes he's skated in his career by a fair margin. You go back to last season, which was kind of his breakout year. He skated under 16 minutes per game. He's up to 19 minutes, 56 seconds per game this year. Some of that's because he plays alongside Miro Haskinen, who plays so much. But Oleksiak, I think he's going to get some interest just because he's young, he's big, and he's shown an ability to be a second-pairing defenseman along the right side of match. Now, the converse and why, he's tough to move is all those reasons that I listed that he's valuable. He's just as valuable to the Dallas Stars, right? And they know that he complements Miro Haskinen well. Maybe down the line, does he complement a Thomas Harley well if Miro Haskinen bumps up to that top pairing? Say they move John Klingberg this offseason and Miro Haskinen jumps up to that top pairing with Esa Lindell. Does Jamie Oleksiak, complement Thomas Harley, a guy who has the offensive side of the game, really needs to build up the defensive side of the game? Who knows? you know, that's kind of projecting out. But there's, the Stars see value in Jamie Oleksiak, and he's not going to be, shouldn't be overly expensive to bring back. He was making $2.1 million a year, a little over $2.1 million this year. I don't see that figure jumping up, you know, astronomically next season on a long-term deal, maybe a 2 or 3 year contract. You know, I think Oleksiak would want to hit free agency again here in the next couple of years, especially if he continues to play alongside Miro Heiskanen, because that's just going to keep, I think, rising his stock. So if he hits free agency around age 30, 31, somewhere around there, I think he would be due for a nice pay rise again if the trend continues as it has. But I think there's definitely a very, very plausible avenue for him to come back to Dallas next season and for a couple of more years. So, you know, do the Stars want to part ways with that left-handed defenseman, left-sided defenseman, who has shown an ability to be a two-way defenseman when needed? He's big. He's young for a defenseman, just 28. He's just now kind of stepping into his kind of prime, you know, in terms of a hockey player, and he's just starting to look like he's really starting to figure things out here over the past season and a half, something like that. So, you know, I think the Stars would have to be pretty blown away to move Jamie Oleksiak, because if they trade him, it's unlikely they're going to be able to bring him back, right? It's not often that you trade a UFA and then you're able to bring that UFA right back to follow that, you know, that offseason. I think the Stars would absolutely try if they went to Oleksiak and say, hey, we love you, we want you back, but we got to get a little bit of capital right now and you know, or a little, you know, some assets right now that can help for the future. But that being said, similar to John Klingberg, not quite to the same degree, but you move Jamie Oleksiak, that is a detriment to your team right now. Not quite the same impact, but it's a detriment to your team right now. The Stars don't really have somebody who can step in and fill that role to the level that he's playing it at right now on their roster. They would be downgrading defensively, so they would have to be pretty impressed with what they're going to get back. Not going to really talk about Blake Como. I don't see that getting done. Maybe some people call about him. Maybe a team that's kind of the outside of contending calls, or they need a penalty killer and a checking line forward. He's been fairly solid for the Stars, but I think Dallas values him beyond his on-ice impact. I think he's a pretty good leader from what we've seen. It's important to have a veteran like him around. And you know, he's had a fairly, you know, good season. 11 points, 32 games. He's even plus minus, skating a little over 15 minutes a night. Obviously, he's a very good penalty killer. You know, I don't see the Dallas moving him, just because I don't think there's going to be enough value coming back to justify moving him right now. I mean, teams, I don't think he carries all that much value outside of the team, outside of the Dallas Stars, and I don't think that outweighs the value he carries by staying with the team. Last person I want to talk about real quick is Andrew Cogliano, and if there's somebody that gets moved this, you know, in the next 5 days or whatever it is, I'm not looking at my calendar, so I didn't count, but, you know, before Monday, 2 p.m. Central, Andrew Cogliano is the guy I kind of have circled, right? 33, kind of going on 34 here pretty soon. But he's been really, really good over the past few weeks. He skated very, very well. Good penalty killer. Good checking line forward. Gritty. Likes to get dirty on the forecheck. Can come up with the shorthanded goals. Defensively, he's fairly solid. You know, not afraid to throw the body around, even though he's a smaller guy. Can play, you know, plays on the left wing. And he's a guy that I think would carry some value. UFA at the end of the year, maybe if you're a team that needs a penalty killer, similar to Blake Como, but I think there's a little bit more value there. You need a penalty killer. You need somebody, you know, who can be a checking line forward and who can kind of, you know, you can throw out there and say, hey, I need you to light a fire here. I think he's a guy that teams would be interested in. He does have a modified no trade clause. So that would be kind of a hindrance in moving him. But I think the Stars would feel some calls on him, especially because he's played really well, I feel like, over the past 2 or 3 weeks. I think that's probably raised his stock. You know, the cap hits is not nothing, right? He's making 3.25 this year, so the cap hit the rest of the season, you know, isn't nothing. But I think if there's a team out there that maybe thinks that they, you know, they can't go chase a big fish, but maybe they can make a guy who can make a little impact, like the Stars when they acquired Andrew Cogliano, I think they would be willing to give up maybe something of value for the Stars. And I think Dallas would be willing to make that deal. I you know, whether he's back next year or not, I'm not sure. I don't think it's quite like Oleksiak, where I think the Stars absolutely would love to bring him back. I think they would like Andrew Cogliano, but the Stars kind of have a plethora of depth forwards. They need some top-end talent. So do you want to use cap space on bringing him back, you know, at probably $3 million or something like that past this year somewhere? I don't think his cap it would be higher than it is right now, but probably something a little bit lower, you know, 2.5, 2.75, somewhere in there. You know, do you want to bring him back on that when you've got some guys that are making,
you know, minimum kind of stuff, rookie contract, entry level contract kind of money that can do similar kind of things, not maybe to the degree, but similar kind of things to Andrew Cogliano. So I think if there's a star that gets moved, I have him circled. Anton Dudobin, I know a lot of people have thrown that out there with Jake Ottinger being so good and Ben Bishop hopefully coming back here in the next few weeks. We don't really have a timetable anymore, but you know, he'll be back for sure for next season. I think a lot of fans, when they're talking about Anton Dudobin being moved, they're kind of writing off this year, looking at next year. I think he will be moved at some point. It won't be during the season. It'll be this offseason. I don't know how it will be. Trade, you know, expansion draft, trade with Seattle. I don't know how. I think it would be a really good number two. The going first or going being the goalie that goes, you know, the player off the Stars that leaves in the expansion draft feels a little rich for me now, just because he hasn't been that great this year. But maybe if, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle goes and finds a better option in the expansion draft at goalie and then calls the Stars and say, hey, you know, we'd like to make a deal to get him in and be our number two, which I think he'd be a really good number two in an expansion franchise. And the Stars would then have a direct path for Jake Ottinger and Ben Bishop to be their goalies next season. But he's not going to get moved this year. The Stars aren't going to write off the season like that. And basically, without Ben Bishop healthy and in back and already in, you know, in net, if he was back already and he had shown he was good to go, maybe. But without that, the Stars would basically be saying, we're not winning this here because we're going to roll with Jake Ottinger and Landon Beau as our goaltenders until Ben Bishop comes back. So that's not going to happen. Andrew Cogliano is the guy I see the most likely to move. Then probably Oleksiak would be number two, because I think those two have enough value that some teams would be willing to maybe, there may be like a little bit of a bidding war, right? Multiple teams come in, maybe the Stars can get the price up a little bit and get some future assets back. Beyond those two, though, I don't see a match that's going to help Dallas now that wouldn't be Dallas admitting, hey, we're not going to compete this year and next year's up in the air. I don't see Dallas trying to do that right now. Maybe the end of the season, maybe they reevaluate, but right now I think they're willing to just continue to try to, you know, find a way into the playoffs. And if they don't, season's a wash. Injuries, shortened schedule, condensed schedule, crazily condensed schedule, it's just, you know, just write it off and try to come back and contend next year. So that's good enough for this one. If you have any trade questions, specific trade deadline questions, make sure to tweet them at us at Locked On Stars here in the next few days. We'll answer those throughout the rest of this week and next week, or the beginning of next week on the pod. Make sure to follow Locked On Stars for any the latest in Dallas Stars news. Follow my personal account as well, at Kenneth_Nash19. Make sure to follow the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, so we show up in your feed every single day. But that's going to do all for this one. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. Throw your opinions at me. Throw any questions you got at me. I'd love to answer those and talk about those on the next podcast. But until then, have a good one. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.